Hello, and welcome to the Modern Goat Rider podcast. I'd like to take this opportunity to emphasize the opinions expressed by our hosts and guests are strictly their own and do not represent the positions of any lodge, Grand Lodge, or other branches of the Independent Order of Oddfellows. Our fascinating conversations will be open to the public for the purposes of inspiring our global membership and promoting the order. So, sit back, open your ears, and your heart in your hand while I introduce you to our hosts.
Welcome to the Modern Goat Rider podcast. I'm Billy Sanderson.
And I'm Tara Zajac.
Tara, how are you?
I am great this fine day. Happy to be back in Studio FLT.
It is glamorous. Well lit this time.
It's true.
And it's quiet.
And it is quiet. If listeners could see, there'd be numerous cushions that characteristically wouldn't be lying around in a...
No, that's right. I mention that often, that we have patio furniture cushions in here for no apparent reason other than just to make it feel cozy and comfy and quiet.
Billy's a professional.
I am trying to be. One day I will achieve some competency at this game. But we want to introduce the gentleman who is staring and sort of giggling at us over here on the left side of the room. Brother Andy Bernhardt, Vice Grand... No, tell us who you are, Brother Andy Bernhardt. Welcome to Modern Goat Rider.
Well, thanks for having me, Billy. Thanks for having me, Tara. I am Vice Grand for Columbia 2, and yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
And give us a little bio. How long have you been an Odd Fellow?
You know, I'm not exactly sure how long I've been an Odd Fellow, but hopefully when I get my pin, that will remind me of how long. So I think that's sort of the gauge of how long you've been an Odd Fellow, is when someone gives you your 10-year pin and then you're like, oh, yeah.
Right.
So, but I think I'm due for my 10-year pin relatively soon.
Yeah. What brought you to Odd Fellows?
So Josh Miller brought me to Odd Fellows. I had developed a little bit of an interest in fraternal organizations, and I had talked to a couple of my friends, and I had a Mason's book with me, and I brought it to Mole, and Josh saw it, and Josh said, hey, are you interested in Masons? I said, yeah, I am. He's like, well, the Odd Fellows are a lot cooler, so you should join the Odd Fellows. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. Because I'd been doing a little bit of reading about, you know, the benefits of fraternal organizations, particularly back in the 40s and 50s, and what an important part of society they were at the time. And I got interested in what was going on for fraternal organizations in Victoria, and Josh found me. So the Odd Fellows found me.
Wow. So cool. So Mole is Josh's old restaurant, which we all frequented. Congratulations for soon to be a 10-year pin.
Thank you.
You maybe have a pin yourself if it's next year.
right. Do we do that?
Possibly.
Maybe.
All right.
Can I just also mention about Andy? Andy is one of the key people that helped the disc golf tournament do its thing by setting up the website and numerous other graphic and other tech supports to help it get going in the first place. Without Andy, all the players couldn't sign up. So there we go. And Andy's not always there on the day of for the big hand clapping. So let us do that for you now.
Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
Yes, and Andy is also the webmaster for Modern Goat Riders page.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. The high-pressure stakes job that is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole Odd Fellows server.
There you go.
It has disc golf, ton of love, Modern Goat Rider, Columbia's website. So, yeah.
Well, we appreciate it. So Andy is here to talk about the topic of the night, but we should catch up on a few of the interesting events that we foreshadowed at the last episode. And Bastion kicked off, you know, we'll go backwards in time. You had a big event last week, Thursday
the 21st. And it's too bad. Normally I like to acknowledge solstice somehow, at least in my thoughts, but that day was pretty full on. So I think it was 3 days later when I was like, oh, it's fall now. It just came and went in a whirlwind. So yes, Spaghetti Social, which as I explained before, is a chance for people who are odd curious to come in and have a spaghetti dinner. And the spaghetti dinner is cooked by either initiates and or newer members of Bastion 4 this year. So it's a team effort and a bit of trial by fire for them. And they really just knocked it out of the park this year. We had 65 people come in to eat, as well as the volunteers eating. So I'm guessing probably about 80 meals, and raised, I feel, about $1,300.
And then, excellent.
You know, costs out of that. But people were very generous, and we were supporting a counseling society for youth. So that was important. And we also had a couple Czech presentations. So it was a nice way to show people who are not part of Odd Fellows some of the ways we give back. And we held an open meeting. Mm-hmm. So I got to chair an open meeting, and that's pretty fun too. But obviously it's a little bit quicker when you're buzzing through fewer agenda items than normal. But people get to see the seating of the lodge. They get to witness some of the rituals and get a sense of what a meeting would be like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... It's open meetings are always fun because you're thinking who's going to be the first person who stands up and does something secret.
Mm.
And we had a member who was she put her hand up to just say, I need to leave. And as she was standing up and walking across the room, she stopped, paused, turned to the noble grand, and you could just hear everyone, no, shh, stop, put your hands down. And then she left. Mm-hmm. Instead of revealing all our treasured secrets, mm-hmm, in front of the uninitiated.
And then I felt compelled to explain to the people in the room a certain amount of like what you're seeing in front of you, so that they weren't just concerned about Emily's well-being or something along those lines.
And we've had a rather emotional past week because a founding member of Bastion Lodge did pass away at a very young age. But we were also draping the charter for past Grand Master in all the lodges in BC. But we took some extra time at the Bastion meeting and at the Columbia meeting to recognize our sister, who was much more familiar with the members of our lodges, and recognized her with a little memorial type thing,
mm-hmm,
couple speeches, things were said that were wonderful about our past sister.
Yeah, it was really well done. And I think, you know, there was the internal debate, do we have the draping sort of open to non-members so they can see a bit of the life cycle of Odd Fellowship as we talk about it, but we decided to keep it just to members, simply because it was a pretty personal, mm-hmm, personal event. So I'm glad we did it that way.
Yeah. And Andy, we've had no events. We just had our meeting last week, and we're looking forward into October for our initiates are going to do their dinner. So you, mm-hmm, guys did yours. The initiates are going to do theirs.
Sorry, what date?
It is October the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, initiates seem to like carbohydrates because, mm-hmm, this is going to be a Mac Plus dinner. So it'll be mac and cheese, mac and pulled pork, mac and whatever is going to be, along with all their salads that they are getting organized and coordinated. So they're doing something similar. They're just going to be a donation recommended sort of thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is the dress code stretchy pants?
Probably a good idea.
Blazers and
stretchy
joggers?
Pants. Yeah.
I have to say, though, can you guys talk a little bit about your first meeting coming into September? Because I feel like all of us who take that summer break, sometimes that first meeting in September, it is like literally back to school for many people, and sort of back to school mentally if you don't have kids. And you know, we had a casual lounge meeting, and I think that made it compelling. But you guys did something a little bit different, and maybe Andy wants to talk about that.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up, that I thought our first meeting was a little bit special, and mm-hmm, I really liked how Billy ran it. I thought that Billy the way that he sort of put it out, that it's a kind of dinner table meeting. How did you put it, Billy?
Kitchen table
meeting, right? Because that's one of the things that we've been talking about post-COVID. You know, how do we kind of balance, you know, the social aspect of Oddfellows and then the business aspect of Oddfellows? And so I thought the meeting was a great hybrid meeting. And, you know, I'm looking forward to my year trying to maybe do a little bit more of that and do a little bit more social meetings. So
will you also do a meat draw? Because meat people draw. Were very compelled by the meat draw at that meeting as well. It's really funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, you wonder why meat draws are like this thing, right? You see them at the, I don't know, every service group or, you know, Italian stag you've been to, there's like 12 meat draws or something like that. And so we had a member who kindly went out and purchased the meat. The packages made little gift bags, I guess, brown paper gift bags. And we sold a whole bunch of tickets, and it was like a feeding frenzy. They kept coming to him asking for tickets after he had sold out, and he felt bad. Oh, poor brother Scott H. said, hey, we haven't talked about him in a long time.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, 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 drink. he said to the first group of guys, there's only 30 tickets. And then we said, you know, you sold all the tickets within the first 15 minutes of having tickets, and people are still coming in. And went, well, just sell 10 more tickets. And he goes, I can't do that. I've just told everybody there's only 30 tickets. Well, when they've sold 50 tickets, I don't think anybody really care. They're all just, you know, the odds aren't why they're buying the tickets. And so, yeah, we raise just on the donations for pizza. Oh, yeah. And we had pizza. We had made pizza in the hall. And so I think we raised $700.
$700, yeah.
Yeah, just a, you know, just an easy throw together thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I bought the last two tickets, or so Scott told me. But I have seen Scott sell the last two belt buckles and the last two different items of swag to a few different people. So I wasn't sure about that, but
all right. Yeah. Well, let's get to our topic.
Sure.
So our topic, everybody, gracious listener, is that we are going to talk about being noble grands. Mm. So we did a little preamble on that at the end of the last show. But Tara and I have been noble grands for this year, 2023, in case you're listening to this way off in the future. And I did 2 years as a vice grand. Andy is vice grand now. You did 1 year as a vice grand, and
correct.
This is your year. So it's round table. So these questions that we shared are kind of everyone's chance to answer them. But I'm going to ask Andy. Mm-hmm. The first question, we'll go off script. We'll go on script for a bit and then go off script. Why did you want to, we'll say move through the chairs. Why did you want to move through the chairs and become an officer?
That's a good question. It just sort of felt inevitable, I guess. You know, for me, being part of Oddfellows and going through the different chairs and, you know, being connected, I guess, with a bunch of the guys like Russ and Kevin going and doing our cold dipping every morning. We talked about Oddfellows a lot. And so it just was one of those things that I was interested in and involved in, I suppose. You know, I helped organize a lot of the different events. I, you know, supported Russ, who organized our poker tournament over and over again and things like that. So, yeah, it just felt kind of like a natural progression to take my turn at leadership.
And so why now? Was there a reason now or something that you thought?
Right. So I had had a lot of challenges over the past 4 years with my wife's health and with work and with COVID and things like that. So I was actually not able to go into leadership because of the things that I had going on. So, yeah. But now feels like a good
stability
time
brought time to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. To do so, your 3 years.
That's right.
So. And you?
And me? I mean, I haven't been an Odd Fellow as long as Andy has. So it was a little bit of kind of felt my time-ish, you know, what was coming around. Partly, I see it as a chance to maybe help facilitate some of the ideas I've had, but also it is helping out the lodge. It's not a role without a certain amount of joys, but is a certain amount of responsibility. And I just think that if you're a member of the lodge, you need to seriously consider pulling a little bit of weight in that way. Mm. And again, not that it's a burden, but then it takes the pressure off somebody else another time or another time or another time. And there's all these amazing co-benefits that come from it. And did I feel like I was ready? Not, you know, it's, I think a little bit of, I don't think if you're a little bit scared, then you're probably tricking yourself. So I was a little bit intimidated, but it seems to be going well. And if you need to course correct, then you do that. And anyways, so that's why I did it about now, because it was post-COVID and it was clear that we needed to plan for the future in the lodge and have somebody take some leadership roles. So I decided to mm-hmm. put my hat in the ring.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Billy?
Oh, my turn?
Yes.
So why did I do it? Well, I thought sort of the same. Well, I thought, like Andy has just sort of touched on, I was talking to my sponsor, John Goody, and he said, oh yeah, no, you know, I've got to do that. He had it in his sights that he was going to be Noble Grand someday. And I thought, okay, well, I guess, you know, if you are leading committees or you're doing things that are, you know, relatively visible, you would have the support to become Noble Grand and go through Vice Grand and so forth. So I thought Mike McLean was going into the position after Josh, and we were still mid-COVID, and it looked like the right kind of time to cut. You know, it didn't look like, not that it wasn't serious, but it was COVID. We really weren't doing meetings and stuff like that. We were 6 months before we were going to be back in the hall. And so I was Vice Grand with Mike and learned a lot through that. And we had made an agreement that we would do a full kind of 2 years, get through COVID once we saw things kind of really tying up in 2020. Mm-hmm. So I did it because I thought it's a leadership thing I want to do. And the why is because it looked like it was going to be a good time to kind of come in. Mm. And we, you know, rebuild or restart stuff. Mm-hmm. That turns out to be much more work than it sounded like. But it did feel like the start of, or the end of COVID and the start of Back to the Hall was just going to be like a rampage. And it was, everyone's just going to take charge and do everything. And you weren't going to do much as a Noble Grand. Like, it maybe a little bit of direction, but not leadership of events or anything like that, right? Like, we remember the end of 2021, right? It was just crazy. We had all these people at these meetings and we had no events planned or anything, so it was mm-hmm. just like this pent up energy. So it looked like a really good time to be Noble Grand.
Yeah, and I have to say to anyone who was Noble Grand or Vice Grand or Executive Committee during COVID, like, props to you. It was a strange time, and getting things going, there's some inertia there. So people might be excited, but there isn't necessarily the right bumps in seats or whatever to get meetings or events going. And like, how does this work? And how do I book this? And how does this happen? So I think to anyone who was in a leadership position during COVID, and that wasn't me, my hat goes off to you, because it was hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you find the kind of the transition out of COVID into what we are doing now? So we had Russ was the Noble Grand. So it was basically last year, 2022.
Right. I think there was a bit of, you know, trepidation about, you know, how far do we go with our events? How do we get mm-hmm. things started? And it's only recently that I've found that that kind of momentum and inertia and everything sort of feeling like, hey, it's back to normal. We're not going to go back to lockdowns, or we're not going to go back to, you know, how things were. So I think, that's been an interesting transition to watch, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we've had a lot of members who have dropped off, we haven't had a lot of activities where, you know, we were sure we could engage people, you know, events that we could do, those types of things. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling a little bit like that energy is back now, and we're moving forward, I think, in a more engaged way,
right?
Which is really exciting to see. Mm-hmm. So
did you guys feel prepared even for Vice Grand? Like, did you feel prepared?
I think so.
For the role?
I mean, you know, annual reports. Where is this file? What's our Societies Act number? There's all these kind of things that get thought about once a year. So you're just kind of working around with that. And my tenure was also a new... We also switched over finance. It was a whole changeover in executive.
Mm-hmm.
So it was also the secretary getting up to speed, the new secretary, and you know, very good handoff, but it's still yeah. new. And then the financial stuff as well. So just, but you know, we it's a really good group, as I've said many times before, and we all work well together. So we got her done. So I don't think it was as hard as it could have been.
It was right.
pleasant confusion. We got it. No big deal. And he's nodding.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy that I'm coming in after Billy, because he's been so organized with templates and the playbook and like all these things that I feel for me, and I'm just very busy and oftentimes overwhelmed.
It's yours to screw up, Andy.
With all these things going on in my life. And so following Billy is, I've been kind of excited about that.
Well, I'm just gonna have to put some Easter eggs in the playbook for you then. Yeah. A couple of things to get you yelled at by Jerry or somebody. Things right. you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's a I mean, in the California jurisdiction, they have had pre-COVID, and I think they've restarted them, their education weeks. And so in Northern Central California, they would put on, the Grand Lodge would put on this education week, and it was all seminars.
Mm.
So you would send your new secretaries, you would send your new vice grands, and they would go, and new noble grands, and they had breakout sessions or somewhat seminar-ish type trainings for those people who felt that they were not prepared, or there was always more to learn.
Mm.
So as you say, like the annual reports, we've read them a few times, and so you should, you know, this is one of the things about leadership, and you're trying to get people in the roles, is the secretary is a great move, right? Because they've touched everything, they've run the agendas, or they've done some things that are related to the meetings, minutes of course, but you would have had the opportunity to see these once a year things, and your secretary usually a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is critical, is to make sure that there's the pathways through chairs that do see stuff. Coming from a warden, maybe not so much. Coming from a conductor, maybe a little better because you're doing degree work a little more. But yeah, certainly moving from secretary to vice grand is probably the most prepared you could be without taking a course or reading the playbook.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one thing that I do regret passing up, was doing the secretary, because I was asked to do secretary, but a lot of my work is sending emails and taking minutes and all these types of things. So I was like, okay, this is just extra that I didn't really want it to do.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing all of the emails, how Kevin is involved in, you know, a lot of our conversations, I do think it's probably some of the best preparation for, you know, going to Vice Grand, Noble Grand.
Yeah.
So,
do you guys do that? Do you have like, so the, Andy's already at what, 1400 emails from me by this point, but like, do you guys include your executive on a lot of things, your secretary and your past grand and so forth?
Or, yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. And here and there, just because of the right and left support, for example, for Noble Grand, mm-hmm. sometimes it involves more the officers too. Like if there's heads up for big things happening at meetings so that no one's surprised of the larger group mm-hmm. as well. But generally speaking, yes, the executive.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another thing I did, which I throw it at them because it's a bit of a, if they're listening, it's a little bit of a pick because we don't see them very often. But I made a Facebook or Messenger chat group with just the past grands. And so it's called, I know I titled it Billy's Past Grand Council or something like that. So it was where I threw all my crazy ideas that I didn't want to talk to you guys about. And I'd send it off to these guys and see what kind of reaction I got from them. And it was through that Scott picked up the meat draw thing, because that was his idea and he kicked it around in that little group. So, yeah.
That's fun. Why not? There's also, as Andy got to know this year, NG and VG chat group for the three local lodges, which is helpful sometimes too.
Yeah.
And sometimes the banal, remind your members to clear out the fridge. But whatever works.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever works. All right. So what surprised you about the role?
What surprised me about being vice grand? Well, like I said, I was really happy with how organized you were. So that surprised me a little bit. So, because that was actually one of the things I was a little bit concerned about coming into these roles, was, you know, how there's a lot to do as Noble Grand. And, you know, I never really saw what was going on in the background, I guess, with, you know, the playbooks and the meeting organization and, you know, just how kind of cohesive everything is. So that surprised me in a good way.
Hmm.
So
what surprised you? I'll ask you first.
I guess what surprised me was something that Mike had told me about in his year, was that you were going to be involved in more than you thought. There's two fronts. There's like the front, you're running the front office and you're also running the back office. And the back office stuff, so to use continue the restaurant analogy, right? Like you have the opinions and everybody who's in the front of the restaurant enjoying their meal or their, what they're being delivered from the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So but the back office is where there's like, you know, yes, chef. No, chef. Shut up. Yeah, yeah. What's with this? This isn't ready, and all that stuff. There's a lot of hecticness that I was a little surprised about. But Mike had warned me, and Russ had given me a bit of a lecture as well, that you don't see what the Noble Grand is doing. Mm. And so then we've just chat. Like I've just included Andy in everything.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that sounding board. But I guess that's it, that you, as a member sitting on a chair along the wall, third year member, and you're like, okay, this Noble Grand strolls in, goes the gavel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing you know, everybody's back in the, we're done an hour later. You haven't seen what is going on. Mm-hmm. And you guys, you know, sorry, you're everything. You're like a coach and you're sometimes a teacher and sometimes you're a referee.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, what, so sort of surprised me was all those little roles and then followed by a certain amount of pressure to feel like you had to have the answers all the time.
Oh.
And then letting that go and just knowing it's okay to say you don't know. And that's where talking to your executive works. That's where talking to some of the general members works. I mean, the buck does stop with the Noble Grand, but you don't have to know everything right away. And there's a lot of, I say, maybe freedom in being okay with that. And the members appreciate it too. So, yeah. That was a surprise.
I think, yeah. And there's... there's so much urgency that is expressed at a donation, or that something needs to change, and you, like you just said, it's okay to not have the answer, and it's okay to just say, you know, maybe one day it'll change or whatever. But I guess that's another thing that sort of surprised me, was it's possible that the urgency is because this member is planning, they're at the meeting and they haven't been at the meeting the last two meetings, and they might make the next one or two. And so it's on their mind and they want to tell you, and it seems like there's an urgency due to proximity to you, a decision maker. But I don't know. I don't know. How do you feel about urgency and stuff like that on the request to a Noble Grand?
I mean, if we can accommodate people, that's great. But I don't want to, it might be a little harsh to say whatever that, just your lack of planning is not my emergency, that trope. But I don't want to cast everyone else in disarray on a very narrow time frame that, like, important versus urgent, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it depends what it is. I mean, for sure, we want to accommodate as many people as possible.
So if you had a request to a member thought that a donation request should go to the finance committee for approval, and it's a donation to a society that already has lots of funding, or a service group that has had a fire or something at their facility, mm-hmm. and you're going, it is important, it is timely, this donation size is not going to shift the course of their restoration or speed it up in any way. You know, it's a recognized, there's often a recognized, not tokenness, but you know what I mean? It's like, we're showing that we care and that mm-hmm. we are there. The person, we've had a case where we needed to move somebody, or we were asked to lend a hand moving somebody. And it was certainly an urgent situation because it was a personal safety thing. And so it was like, you know, yes, we act on that one tomorrow. We send the strong backs and the pickup trucks. Mm-hmm. The $500 donation to a society, you know, let's talk about it. Let's think about it. And it's okay if it takes a meeting to get around to that one. You're nodding mm-hmm. your head a lot.
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things that, I think you mentioned it, that, you know, people who don't come to meetings that often, and then when they do come and they do want to bring up what's important for them. And, you know, I think the culture of how we approach our donations and charity has changed a little bit mm-hmm. Over the last while, because we did have more funds available in the past. And so now we have to have a bit more of a kind of policy of how we're going to disperse those funds. And, you know, that's an important job, I guess, of the executive, is to communicate those expectations to mm-hmm. our members that has changed. And that's something that, you know, I think we have done relatively well over the past year, is, you know, try to let people know that, hey, this is how we're going to approach this. Because in the past, you know, I think we did really encourage, you know, people, whatever their cause was, to come, and, you know, we would have $500 donation for them.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. changed a bit.
So did you see, springboarding on the sort of the surprises or things you weren't expecting, mm-hmm. did you feel that you had skills that you needed to sharpen, or you didn't, or you needed to learn once you became Noble Grand? Did you feel like, maybe I'm not that good at coaching somebody through a problem or helping construct and incubate an idea? Like, was there anything that you had that you're like, oh, I didn't expect to be using this skill or developing this skill as a Noble Grand?
Well, I mean, if anything, it's, you can't think about a meeting, say, on Tuesday when the meeting's on Thursday, mm-hmm. right? So there is a bit more organization and preparation involved. Mm-hmm. And someone, like, I work fairly independently at my job. So that deadline is mine to be far ahead of, or do last minute, and that's, you know, I'm at the mercy of that and my own decision making. So obviously when you're working with a bunch of people, then you have to be a lot more organized, because then my lack of, I would never want my lack of preparation to make people's lives harder.
Mm-hmm.
So just force me to be a bit more organized. I tend to succeed while doing flying by the seat of my pants, and that doesn't work here. So I had to change things a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's the need to, or feeling that that urgency shouldn't be let go. Like that enthusiasm that somebody might have for change or for doing something. I get myself kind of like, oh, okay, well now, how do I deal with this thing on the fly? Because I'm trying to be so freaking organized and setting the table that, you know, there isn't going to be a surprise in a meeting. Like the meeting is going to be smooth because I don't like surprises.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, if somebody's hinting that they're going to make a donation proposal, it's like, okay, if you're going to make a donation proposal, please, you know, have a look at the policy, or just let the secretary and the financial secretary and the treasurer know you're going to kind of bring this up at the meeting and that sort of thing. I guess the ship I sail is kind of more, I don't like to captain much. Mm-hmm. I like it to be all captained in advance, and it just sort of flows, you know?
Yeah. I think Billy has to, just trust in himself that he's going to be able to handle it.
Five more meetings. That's it.
But we had...
Because no, for me, that's one thing, right? That I'm, you know, that I see in the role is that you do just really have to trust that everything that's going to happen, you're going to be able to deal with it.
It always works out.
It does.
Especially with the group of people that we
have. Yeah, it always, it's silly that you go, oh, I just panicked all day about that or whatever, but it usually works out pretty darn close to expectation.
Yeah.
Well, and if something isn't quite right, and an example is with a spaghetti social. So when the discussion was being made and the amount of money for the budget was being voted on, it's like, okay, yeah, last year or whatever other time we motioned for X amount of dollars. So we did that again. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, that doesn't seem like enough money for food and alcohol for however many people. And then I looked through, because we haven't done one really properly since before COVID. So I looked through a few more notes and whatnot. And in fact, the reason it was that smaller amount is because we had cost shared with Columbia too in the past. So that's why it was that amount. So normally we would have double. So the surprise of sorts was that if we wanted to go by the book and make sure the money was motioned for, et cetera, for the initiates to spend, we had to call a special meeting. And we did a special, so send a note out. We had a special meeting. Six people were there. A quorum was four. It was maybe a 7-minute meeting. And then we talked about the event planning, motioned for an larger amount, closed her up, and then that was fine. And I think if this had happened in the beginning of my tenure, I would have chewed myself up over it. Like, you idiot. How did you make that mistake? Now you're taking people's time. And I just would have really, really been hard on myself. And then now I'm like, eh. You know, it all worked out.
Yeah.
No one was pissed. Stuff happens. They got the money they needed. We complied with all the rules. Guess what? People got to learn how to do a special meeting. That was a fun learning opportunity. And life goes on. And I don't think that's even a blip in anyone's memory about the whole experience, because the rest of it was so fun.
Yeah.
Versus some weird money shift. You know what I mean? You're a little kid,
right,
and you try to cover it up awkwardly, and then it just makes it a million times worse. We didn't do that.
You didn't do that.
No, because we're grown ass adults. Beep.
Beep. Yeah. Okay. So what do we got? What do you say to somebody to recommend them moving through the chairs? Or, you were on that one. You were jumping in.
Nope.
So, Russ gave me this talk. He'd had a lot of scotch when he told me this. And I think he was dressed like a clown at a costume party when he explained all of this to me.
2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I remember that party.
Yeah. So, I got this, a good thorough explanation of what the 3 years would look like from vice grand, noble grand, past grand. So have you ever had anybody come to you and ask about these questions, like what's it like and that sort of thing? And have you given them any advice? I'd say that looks like no's.
Loosely, I think these conversations are going to be had a little bit more in the month of October and as we approach election time. It felt maybe premature in, like, June was a little crazy with the disc golf tournament and I don't know, just felt like we had one thing. I know grand launch sessions were in April, but it felt like there was one thing to the next and we were just trying to get by. I mean, initiated new people and blah blah blah. So I mean, I do try to drop little nuggets of knowledge bombs amongst members along the way, but haven't sat down and had any super big conversations, just some loose ones. Unless I too was drinking scotch and dressed like a clown and don't remember, but I don't think so.
I think there's a lot of opportunities for leadership in Colombia. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got all kinds of different, you know, positions that we'd like to fill, board of union positions we'd like to fill, you know, grand events that we put on, all those types of things. So there's a lot of opportunities for people to get involved, take leadership, you know, put effort into whatever they want to do. And I mean, that said, you know, also we have some opportunities. You know, we've lost the poker tournament, and now there's a bit of space for new event to come in, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the great things I think about Odd Fellows and the culture that we have in Colombia is really like, if you want to do an event, you're going to have 10, 15 guys behind you and, you know, you can make that happen. And I think that's probably one of the more important pathways to being in the executive in Odd Fellows in Colombia anyway, is taking leadership around some of those events, building your connections and your network, and then moving into those. But, you know, I think that people are very busy these days and they've got a lot going on in their lives. So, you know, I don't know if there's really been as much of a, like, yes, I want to do this sort of thing, you know, particularly with COVID, right? So I think there's a bit of a gap in terms of right now, in terms of people being interested in, you know, leading events or doing things like that.
I think for our lodge, I mean, again, certainly I've had some people, some more experienced members express some interest, and sort of like with you, Andy, you had a few years where you just had personal stuff going on and it wasn't in your capacity, even though leadership was of interest for you. And I think there's a couple people like that in our lodge too, that have had just life things that were busy and they would be great natural leaders. So hopefully, I mean, again, I think we can all, there's how the busyness of life. And then sometimes there's big, like, life things happening, and the former, I would like to think that you can probably carve some time out or just shift your busyness to Odd Fellows if it's something you're interested in. I mean, that was me. If I wasn't doing this all the time, I'd be doing something else. So, but I like to be busy.
Yeah. We've given, the advice to people who've come up and said, you know, like, what do I do? And if it wasn't an office, then we'd said committees, like, just be on a, committee, because, and especially a chair. If you could be a chair, then you're likely to be called upon multiple times per quarter, to explain what's going on. And so you have the opportunity to stand in front of the members, present, be thoughtful, collect feedback, all of those sort of things. Which is kind of the primer for the job, right? Is to be willing to listen and to take those things, those nuggets that you get as a chair, right? Again, just sawing some old boards with my experience with the chairs, is you would have some idea that was just like, great, it's not going to work. Like, we don't have enough time. We don't have enough horsepower. We don't have enough money. So great idea. Put it in the books. But these are the things that you kind of learn in the chair, in the committee, and how to sort of get through it. And if you're throwing an event, even better, because now you're really testing your fly by the seat of your pants kind of, skills, because you're standing there and people are pouring in and, you know, the kegs aren't cold. All right.
Yeah.
Run to the store. Cold beer. Let's go. You start problem solving pretty fast.
It demystifies a lot of the process, for sure. And I think it's super useful. Even things like, I had a couple people who've been around the lodge for a while, never knew where the garbages were. And things like that, right? So there's like the keeping the lights on stuff, and there is the, you know, emotional leadership stuff. And I think to anyone who's considering taking more responsibility, and maybe you organize an event, maybe participate in an event, but when you see the cooperation embodied in that event, I think it can only sort of bolster you for, okay, maybe I can do a little bit more, and maybe I could do a little bit more, because you're not by yourself. Right? Like, Thursday was hard for our last meeting, and I had so many people before and after just come up and say really nice things, or just like a little like, you got this. I'm like, thanks, man. this is a complex evening to try to negotiate. So yeah, I mean, just try it. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Well, you did disc golf, obviously, from the tech side, but there was something you and Jack did one year. Jack Adamson and you. Did you guys do the Robbie Burns? No.
Yes, we did. Yeah, I did that with Alistair as well. Oh, so yeah, I've actually
so never... Robbie Burns, get quick of what it is.
So Robbie Burns is our Scotch drinking evening, I guess, with bagpipes and all the fun things that happen on a Robbie Burns evening. So, but yeah, it's an organized evening where there's a whole meal that's done. You know, we have music, we've got the ode to the haggis. We do the whole thing, and it's one of our events that we actually do that's mostly for the members. Mm-hmm. So it's not really for the public. We're not really raising money, that type of thing. So it's fun. And for me, I never actually led an event, but I was always sort of in, like, with the poker tournament with Russ, I was sort of his, you know, right-hand man for it. And then for disc golf and all these other things. So I had a lot of experience, working with the entire group of Odd Fellows. And I think that's a lot of where the leadership anyway in Columbia can come from, is those relationships and those friendships that you have with everybody, so that you understand how the lodge works, what the members need, you know, how the Board of Union runs, those types of things. Cause it's a relatively complicated organization in a way, right? There's a lot that's going on. There's a lot of events. There's the Board of Union. There's, you know, business end of things as well too. Right. So.
Yeah. And there isn't a 80 person organization that's running Odd Fellows in Victoria, right? It is this group of volunteers that you used to be able to say, you know, I'm saying used to, like, way back, you know, the secretary had been the secretary for 30 years, right? Like, these guys had all the answers. And so if you thought of the question, you could just find the answer because it was one of these five people, right? Because they were so consistent. And now we have, you know, we have turnover, we have people who don't fill all the chairs all the time or whatever. But like, the mystery of Odd Fellows is some of the simplest stuff to somebody, right? Like, we see it at the Q&A's afterwards, you know, like, people won't ask questions because they're just like, well, how does, No, I don't want to go to the audio system because we just got another text about that yesterday.
Oh no!
In a chat about who wants to buy half a cow. somebody said I'm at the hall. How do you work this audio system?
The greatest mystery of the hall.
How an event works or why this happens and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It would behoove somebody trying to be a leader to not just step from the warden's position to the vice grand, right? Being part of something that's making a visible difference or a committee or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I do have to say it's a little bit like high school where you're like, okay, will I accept the nomination for being vice grand? Oh, who else is vice grand? Oh, Billy's vice grand. Okay, if Billy's doing it, then I'm doing it, because that means we'll be noble grands together, probably.
Huh?
I'm just saying. Sometimes you're compelled by, at least for who your running mates are going to be across in the other lodges. And yeah. Similarly in Victoria 1, you're like, okay,
well,
I'm going to be noble granding with this person. They're swell. This makes it all the more enticing.
We can be past grands together then.
Yeah.
It'd be quite fun.
Yeah.
Sitting back. Shooting our opinion across the bow.
Like the guys in the Muppets. We talked about this.
What are their names? The guys in the balcony.
I don't know.
All right.
Watch out, Andy.
I will.
So I want to talk about stuff that we may have learned outside of Oddfellows. How are we doing for time? We're good. We may have learned outside of Oddfellows that we used. And I'll go first because I give you guys time to think. I did a coaching. It was a work-related thing. And so my role at work is not as a coach or as a group leader or anything like that. I have a very single person, nobody bugs you kind of gig. But I took this class, and this guy was a cricket player, and he was a coach, and he was doing this presentation. I think it's on YouTube, actually. And he used all these Ted Lasso quotes or things that Ted says in the show. And of course, he's a fictional character with some really good writing behind it and good acting in front of it. But one of the things he started the presentation with about coaching, and this really got me thinking about Oddfellows, was they were asked at a cricket coaching conference, what is the number one objective of cricket training or a cricket training session for youth? And people were like, oh, to play better and to get their better improved skill or to learn the rules and so forth. And the person at this training said, the number one objective is that the kids leave wanting to come back next week. And so this just made me spin around in my chair and start writing things about Oddfellows.
Mm.
Because that is it to me, is that you have a meeting, you have an event, you do things that people want to return to and not just stay on their couch with Netflix and a bowl of popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
So this one rang true for me, and I just learned it, and I'm like, okay, well, how is it going to make a difference to the rest of my term or the rest of my tenure as past grand or whatever? But it rang so true that it's really what made the Spaghetti Social have the next meeting had a big turnout. Which was just last week, right? Not the Spaghetti Social, excuse me. The pizza night.
Mm-hmm.
Spilled over. And those are the things that you really have to focus. So have you guys had anything? Or you can comment on that. If you've had anything outside of work, or comment on that idea.
Okay. So as much as I say my job is solitary because I'm the only one in my department per se, it's I have a bunch of peer managers across the organization that we can work together, but we don't have to work together, but everything works better when we work together, right? So no one's in charge of anybody else. We all have our own thing going on. But there's a social capital that if you can build, that makes organizationally everything that much more successful. And I think Oddfellows is a lot like that because, like we said before, people are busy. No one has to be there. So when someone shows up and they fold laundry when they don't have to, or they chip in, or they offer a suggestion, even if we can't action it right away, like, it's super important. And I, you know, just try to make everyone feel valued. And if we can't do it, maybe we do it next time or whatever. And then, oh, you over here like this and you over here like this. And I've heard that conversation from both of you. So now I put you together and you can go do that together.
Hmm.
So it's sort of this facilitating coach, mentor, multi-hat situation that sort of happens in my own work. And I very much try to bring to Oddfellows.
Hmm.
Andy?
Hmm. Well, I like the little wisdom nugget there of, you know, the kids coming back next week, right? Mm-hmm. Or for the next practice. And, you know, I think that's one of the things that we have to look at with Oddfellows right now is what do our members get out of what we're doing? And it's a bit of a change, I think. And I think there's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now too. You know, there's a lot of crises that are, you know, happening, and, you know, COVID was just one of those. But, you know, we're seeing those kind of things with increasing frequency as well. So, you know, what does Oddfellows mean to all of us? And, you know, for me, a lot of it's about the relationships and the friendship and the community and the kind of general resiliency that comes from that, right? So, you know, I do think of, you know, and what we talk about this quite a bit, right? Like, what do we need to do to make Oddfellows relevant to the members right now? Like, what should we be doing to make it a little bit more fun, a little bit more interesting, so that people want to give up their Wednesday night with their kids? They want to give up the Wednesday night with, you know, just getting to relax after working a 60-hour week or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do think that, you know, and coming out of COVID, we do have a little bit of a fresh slate on doing that, right? Because I'd really like to see us do a lot more social meetings and a few less business meetings, right? Because do we need to do 2 business meetings every month? You know, can we get some of that done in the social meeting, whatever we need to do? So, yeah. And, you know, I've been talking with Kevin a little bit too, right, about some ideas of, like, what could we possibly do, you know, next year for fun meetings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
Billy's going to love it.
What? That Andy's banished from Oddfellows forever? What do you mean there's not enough content for 2 meetings? I can hear them yelling across the Oddfellows sphere.
It's going to be great.
No, I agree. This is something we talked about. The catch has always been for me that, and you've said it, Tara, is that these people aren't required to be there. There isn't 5 or 6 figures that's having them come every Wednesday like it is for us going to the office and finding and being encouraged and rewarded for figuring it out, right? Like, our daily jobs, we figure stuff out. It's constantly a roadmap change or a slate or something's changing in front of you and you've got to deal with it. And when we have members who are great members, super supportive, awesome friends for their members, and they don't come to every meeting, it's almost difficult to not have business meetings, right? Because there is something about the business meeting that they're enjoying, right? The giving of money away, right? Like, having a meeting where you're just sort of like, you know, there's not much happening, but it's part of the meeting, right?
For those, can you please explain to our listeners at home what Columbia 2 does for a business meeting, for a social meeting, so they understand the differentiation you're talking about?
Sure, I'll do the business meeting, you can do the social meeting.
Okay.
Classic Andy.
So the business meeting is formal lodge.
Okay.
Right? So we're doing almost all the ritual in the Red Book. We do all the orders of business that are in the Red Book, and we sing all the songs, and we do all the odes, and we, from a business standpoint, we will do quick runs through finance, we'll do quick runs through the visiting committee and so forth like that, but we spend most of our time in the latter half of the meeting of the order of business by doing events and committees. So I purposely chose this year to be like, okay, we're going to recap everything from what's just happened. And we're going to talk about the next 2 months. Like the next 60 days are going to be in the agenda or in the minutes every meeting, and give everybody a chance. So that does mean if you come to every meeting, you hear about disc golf 10 times, right? You do hear about my party, or you hear about the initiates dinner or something. So that's the business meeting, and we try to do it in an hour. So it does have a bit of a clip that might be dry or whatever. And then Good of the Order comes around, and you're waiting to hear, you know, the what everyone's got. Social.
So yeah, the social meetings. You know, I do want to say to you that, you know, in the social meetings, they are a bit of a hybrid meeting as well too. I think particularly with the way that you led our first one, I was really impressed with it, the kitchen table meeting, and you know, we can get a bit of our business done there, but. You know, to have things like pizza, to have things like games nights, to, you know, have those things where we are, we're not as focused on getting through a meeting quickly. But yeah, it's, I think coming out of COVID, you know, making sure that we're having fun at our meetings and that we're doing more, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, trying to make sure that we're going to do events like St. Patrick's Day. We're going to do events like Oktoberfest. We're going to do all those things where people get excited and interested in doing the social aspect of it. And, you know, rekindle that, I think, after COVID is a good idea.
Yeah. So, I mean, we had Brother Burns, I believe, from California on, where he was explaining that their lodge was suffering and they decided to do every second meeting as a social, and the business was only once a month. And they found that totally palatable and manageable for their lodge. And in ours, you know, we have a 20 meeting calendar. Five, at least four, will not have any component of a meeting. They will just be a games night or the Christmas social or... I don't remember. We used to do kind of like we did with the pizza night. We just have this sort of night where it's still too hot in the hall to go and sit in the hall because it's September, first week of September. So we just do something in the air conditioned portion of the hall. So those sort of things happen. I guess I'm a stick in the mud, but also I like the business meeting. I like that sort of thing. And I think there's been contributions by members like Brother Eric Bramble and by the past grands that you go, yeah, this is worthwhile. Like it's worthwhile. We had, you know, we had the speaker from Vancouver Island Crisis at our last meeting to Neil Cutler, and he came down from Nanaimo and he explained what their society and charity does with the money that they've. Used how they've used the money we've sent them over the years from disc golf. That's really important, I think, for our members to hear. So yeah, that's why I like the business meeting. Not, and Andy's totally right, not to say we can't do that during a social.
I think mix it up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, there have been so many, I think, really powerful and important moments over the years for me and in our meetings, right? And, you know, I think that's one of the things that I was originally looking for with Odd Fellows was that, you know, connection, right, with a group of men where, you know, we are kind of you know, vulnerable with each other. You know, we are dealing with things that, you know, come up, right? Mm-hmm. You know, things like when the Me Too thing blew up, and we, you know, I think all, like, as a lodge, we're, you know, like, wow, okay, you know, how do we deal with this, and like, how do we support our sisters? And like, there were a lot of people speaking really emotionally about, you know, how important that we make those kind of things right, right? Mm-hmm. So having this group of, you know, men in Colombia where we can be real and supportive with each other, like, and that happens in the business meetings, right?
Yeah.
It also happens in social meetings as well too. So, you know, I think those business meetings are really important, but, you know, I don't know if they're as well attended as our socials, right? And I mean, if you were at the pizza party, you know, that we did in September, like, you're probably going to be telling everybody else, hey, don't miss the next pizza party. Those pizza parties were great. That was so much fun. But the business meeting, I think, in a lot of ways, is a little bit easier to miss, right? But, I mean, you're not going to miss the next pizza party, right?
Mm.
So, well, you better not, anyway.
So. Don't miss any of it, Andy. What are you talking about?
You know, if you have to miss something.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and again, I think that was maybe advantageous with your pizza party, is you still left time to get some business done. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, for anyone who also wants things done at a rapid pace, you need business meetings to do that. So,
right.
Yeah. So it has to come from somewhere. Does Columbia too, do you guys do things on your off Wednesdays consistently?
Not still
the movies, maybe? And
movie on
things?
the fifth Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So every first and third is our meeting. And then the second and fourth, we have the hall for whatever purpose. So we don't have to book it. And then on the three times a year that there's five Wednesdays, we have a movie night on that. And so that's this year. So we have the buddy movie night.
Fun.
But no, do you guys do? I remember people said that is committee night. It's the night you get the committees together, was on those off nights.
Well, there's a chitter chatter of a crib tournament.
I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. I know. So I'm going to keep pressing.
And euchre?
Those who brought that up.
Can we get euchre going?
Maybe
we should do euchre and you guys do crib.
Sure. I don't know euchre. Is it very hard to learn?
No. It's a very simple game.
Perfect.
And it's vicious and aggressive and all those things that you want out of a card game.
Hmm. Sounds like the adult version of Speed. Do you guys ever play that when you were kids?
Yeah.
Slapping and all that.
No.
About every 6 months it would get prohibited in my house. My parents would be like, you're not allowed playing that. And then they forget, and then you play again.
All right, we gotta wrap this up.
Yeah.
So right. What is the best thing you're gonna remember about being vice grand?
I'll edit that out. Yeah. The best thing about being vice grand, I think it's working with you, Billy.
Oh, good one.
That wasn't a lead. It wasn't a lead, but thank you.
Right, right.
About being noble grand?
Is the way in which I've gotten to know people in the lodge better and then a little bit differently as well. But certainly better, and just, I guess, the privilege of being someone that people feel like they can talk to has been a little bit overwhelming almost, and really humbling. So that's been one of my favorite parts.
Mm.
Such a good group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very thankful.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Billy?
I think the, how do I say this? I felt, I am honored to be the noble grand, and I feel that, like you, you get to know people a little differently. I don't think I would have spoken to everybody in the lodge, and I think I'm speaking to absolutely, like, individually every mm-hmm. person, and just as reference, we have 78 members this year. Paid, and then a gang of 20 legacy guys who were just sort of always floating around, and I think that's the thing I'll remember, is that I wouldn't have had that opportunity still being conductor or just on the bench. And that was really cool.
But don't you also realize that the only, or for me anyways, I'll say the only thing from stopping me from maybe chatting with everyone as much as I have was kind of myself, you know, like I will say for myself, I probably could have done that when I was warden and made more efforts to like chit chat right. and do all that. But, you know, once the Noble Grant hat comes on, you're like, okay, this is also now part of the gig. So yeah. It was more deliberate, but I could have been doing it the whole time. And I was just maybe shy or maybe just stuck right. to my own comfy groups. So,
yeah,
reach out, friends.
Yeah, reach out. Mm-hmm. Vice Grand, I decided I was going to meet, I was going to go for lunch with somebody every week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I got to 20 weeks or close to 20 weeks with somebody different for lunch. And just, it then blossomed into not just members. I then was taking people out who were, you know, friends I hadn't seen in a while. And I was lucky enough to go for lunch mm-hmm. with you. And yeah,
it felt like a lifetime ago, doesn't it?
It really was. Yeah, and I was just thinking about that. My left support Noble Grand Dean McLeod and I have a standing. We're going for lunch still, right? Oh yeah, we're still going for lunch. And I haven't been for lunch with him in over a year. But yeah, that's a wrap. Andy, you got anything all to right. plug? You got anything you're selling? You're plugging?
No. I don't think so.
If you sell servers, talk to Andy.
Yeah.
Right.
You got server space for Andy.
Yeah, no, I'm doing too much web work as it is. So, no.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
thank pleasure you guys. Joining. So, Tara.
Yes, Billy.
Till next time. So, Tara and I will be back again soon, making more Oddfellows discoveries and seeing the Oddfellowship all around us.
Cheers, an FLT.
All right. So we are going to just banter, but Andy's here.
Yes.
Okay, so we're not going to do an open. We're going to do our open now.
Yes.
We're not going to do
a
new open.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
And then are you going to introduce me and I'll jump in? Or are you
going to... No, just watch the magic, man. Oh, okay. Just watch the magic.
But am I quiet until...
Yes.
Until we're
sure. Okay. Until I introduce who you are,
it's like
the heavy breather
like,
in the
it's like
background.
Smartless, where you just like pop out.